You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and producer of STEM the Movement, the award-winning docudramedy just released in 2017. And you know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage point, so that you can make informed decisions. I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to teach and share. I love serving Maravation. It's a perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being and doing something meaningful. I think if more people would get outside of themselves and their situations and just look up, call up, or speak up and into the lives of others, we would experience a more productive world around us. And that's why OMG exists. The Old Margale Radio Show is to allow people who have tips and tools, information, and experience to be able to share that with you, our listeners. And tonight, our topic is called The Stranger in Your Home. And if there was a subtitle to that, it would be Knowing Yourself and Self-Actualization Should Be a Priority and Not an Option. My special guest tonight is none other than a sister friend I met in Los Angeles, and from the word hello, we've been linked ever since. I adore her. She's a powerhouse in her own right. She's an actress, a spokesmodel, an entrepreneur, and a producer. She has credits in film, television, web, video, and radio, and her true passion is connecting people within this community of fearless creation. Would you be so kind as to put your virtual hands together and give a virtual round of hand applause to none other than Jamie Alexander. Welcome to OMG, Jamie.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you so much for the wonderful introduction. I felt like I was waiting in the halls and the lights were coming on. I'm about to go play a game or something. I wanted to come out and like, I can hear it. Thank you, guys.
Oh, you're so welcome. I am super excited about having you on the show. I know we've been talking about doing this for a minute now. And
yes,
so for it to actually be taking place, I am thrilled beyond words. I'm going to back up and just share a little bit. When Jamie and I met, just for those that are tuning in, when Jamie and I met, I was doing a conference, and she was doing a conference also with Shannon Tanner, our mutual friend. And within 5 seconds of us being on the scene, Jamie had created this video. It blew my mind. We were either FaceTiming live or Periscope live. I don't remember which one. But within 5 minutes, she had taken and captured that material and had created a video while we were still there posting it. And so from that moment till now, I have been uber impressed with Jamie. So Jamie, I want to dive right in because this hour always seems to go so fast, and I know you've got so many things that you can share with our audience. So before we get to The Stranger in Your Home, because obviously if that's what we're going to speak about in knowing ourselves, there had to have been some markers along the way that kind of filtered you to this point of, you know what, I need to know me, I need to make it a priority and not an option. So let's go back and talk about perhaps some of the things that may have propelled you to that space. It could have been a set challenge, you know, some of the things that maybe when you were growing up, did you have any adverse situations that perhaps made you live either a non-truth, or you weren't as aware of who you were when you were younger? Were there any pivotal moments that took place that kind of caused you to really seek, you know, and find out who you were?
Yeah, and you know what? It kind of goes in stages, and, you know, you ask the question so well. So I kind of was born very, like, they used to call me sunshine. You know, I was very, like, happy and all over the place. And it's so funny because I would have, like, the best little birthdays and all these things. So I was always a child with a lot of energy. And, you know, my dad makes jokes. He doesn't say I was hard to deal with, but he's like, yeah, like, you know, you had your own personality. And I'm like, okay.
So that's cold, I believe, for
yeah, like, you was a handful, girl. You was trying to run the world. I make jokes with my friends because when I was in second grade, I was digging through one of my parents' boxes and found a thing that I wrote, and they asked, you know, well, kind of like, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I put boss of the universe. So,
oh my.
Yeah.
This was in what grade? Second grade?
Second grade.
Wow.
So that was, you know, those are the kinds of things that I look at when I get lost. So you asked if there was a pivotal moment, and there was. I came out of the gate when I graduated high school selling real estate. I was engaged. I had a place. I was the kind of person who paid my bills far in advance. Money was never a thing. I to look back now and be like, oh my God, girl, you were 20, 21, making all that money, like, you were kind of balling. Like, that was kind of amazing. It was,
you were the boss of the
before
universe.
It,
you were amazing.
I was the boss of the – yeah, I was like, look what we did, God. I've arrived. I'm good. Like, here we are. We did a great job. And it was like, okay. And then the market crashed. And it was like, oh, so I'm not done. This wasn't it. And it wasn't until the market crashed in 2008 when things got really uncomfortable. There were no jobs left in my field, and the only job that I could get, I hated it so much. I used to carry my Bible in my front seat because I would cry on my lunch breaks. Like, I can't believe, I was so unhappy. Like, I was so unhappy. My mom refers to the name of that job, like, with me being angry. She's like, because I was just not in a good place.
Yeah,
I was so
mad
and sad. It was bad. So that's when I started
asking
questions.
You were so mad
questions.
And sad it was bad. And sad it was bad.
And you know what's so funny about
that's
that?
That's a T-shirt.
Exactly. And the funniest part about that is literally at my desk, I had to start asking myself, what do I like? What do I want to do? What do people think I do? What do people ask me for? What makes me so excited? And this, that, and the other. And it's funny you mentioned that because one of them was rap and poetry, believe it or not. So I got that little thing. So I started writing my lyrics and stuff at my desk because it just made me happy. And also started coming up with different business ideas and stuff like, okay, well, I have a lot of friends and people are always asking me, like, Jamie, do you know somebody that can, blah, 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 and I'm able to hook them up. You know, I've been pretty fearless thus far with certain things. I got my real estate license, aced it the first time, sold my first house at 19. You know, I've never been afraid to, like, go for it. So I was looking at all those things and just making notes and notes and notes, and I still have this notebook. And then eventually I got let go from that job because there was nothing left in the real estate and mortgage market that was making any sense in 2008. So I remember driving home that day and being really excited about it. That's also the day, you know, I also got a chance to record a feature. So my rap name is Miss Exclusive. And so it was amazing how, like, you know, I lived in Orange County at the time, in the deepest, darkest parts, in, like, Lake Forest, which is further from Anaheim. And it so happened that this amazing group, Individuals from Long Beach, was recording at a studio 5 minutes from my house, way in the boonies here in Orange County. So okay. I was like, wow. So I would go in the studio, and then I got to be on the album. So I spent a little Hot 16 on their album and, you know, got to do that.
A Hot 16.
And so now I'm, like, back in the zone, and now I'm, like, putting things together and trying to put all my girls together. What can I do, and how can I support my talented friends? I was looking at everyone around me like, they're so talented. Why don't I see them, you know, working in entertainment, blah, blah, blah. So that's when I put together Sleepless. And so I had all my girls, and we were running around and doing all this stuff. And so this is that pivotal moment we're talking about, where it was like, I don't think until my back was against the wall that I would have been pressed hard enough to start to ask those questions about myself. And it's not that I was functioning in authenticity or anything, but there was a lot more God had to uncover within me that I really thought like, oh yeah, I mean, like, I have my career, my money, my man, my dog, my this. I thought it was done, honestly, which is crazy. Because when I was younger, I thought, okay, well, I'm going to get a drop-top convertible when I'm 16, and I'm going to be this and that. Like, we think we know
boss
it all.
Boss of the universe. Come on. You came out the womb talking boss of the universe. But I got to unpack something. I got to unpack something because you gave some very wonderful, teachable touchstones that I want to make sure our audience, our listeners, actually gleaned from you. You said, you know, you were doing your thing out of high school, real estate, engaged. Things were great. You were selling houses, sold your first house at 19, and then a crash. Now, that crash that happened in 2008 sent a lot of us spiraling down. I mean, it didn't matter if you were in the real estate market or not, because different sectors dried up as a result of that crisis, as a result of that crash. And so I found myself in a situation, too. But because tonight is about you and your story, we're going to let you keep on talking. But I got to share this. When it crashed and you found yourself having lived your dreams, doing what you needed to do, buying what you need, you say you paid your bills so far in advance, you weren't looking for a due date on your bills. And I dig that because I have a one-touch rule. When a bill comes in, the check goes out. It says, oh, no, man, nothing but love. So why do you have to wait till the 15th and the 30th to pay a bill? If you've got the money on the second, pay it on the second, which means you create multiple streams of income. But that's another lesson for a different show. So let me mention this.
Amen.
When that happened, you could have totally froze, stayed in, stuck on stagnant, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, but you took a job. Now, granted, you took a job because clearly you had an overhead, you had some bills, but you said you were unhappy in the job. You were mad, sad, and it was bad. That was your little phrase, and I dig that. You said you carried your Bible, though. It was riding shotgun with you. Because, see, then you knew where your help was going to come from. Even then you knew you might not be able to see your way out of this situation while you're going to this job being sad and crying on your lunch break, but you knew some answers in that Bible were reminding you of who you were and whose you were, and you know that was not going to be your future, but it was your temporary placeholder. But this is the thing that I want to talk about. I'm going to come back to the Miss Exclusive because, you know, that right there is kind of dope. But you said it wasn't until your back was against the wall that you started asking these questions. Now, that's the nugget I want our listeners to really kind of marinate and meditate on, because sometimes it's when you're painted into a corner, when your back is against the wall, when all the odds seem against you, that you then are forced to do one of two things. You can fold, or you can figure out how to play the hand you were given. Just like the woman with the oil, you know, when her husband died and she went to the prophet and said, you know, my husband was great to you, you know, can you help us? And he said, what do you have? She says, nothing. That was the first response. Mm-hmm. And then it hit her. But, and but is a valuable word, but a little oil. And so you realize if you ask your questions, because if in second grade you came out with, I am the boss of the universe, then clearly you knew Jamie Alexander was not supposed to be crying at a job on her lunch break, going and doing something that wasn't part of purpose. And so that's the thing that our listeners, I hope, glean from that, that sometimes you have to get to a place that you can't see your way out, that you then have to ask the tough questions in order to create a strategy and a plan. And then I loved, and this is where I'm going to let you keep on going, I love how you said, I've got all these talented friends around me. I've got all these people, and they're not doing anything. How can I, they're not doing what they want to do, their purpose. How can I help them? And you started Sleepless. So tell us a little bit about Sleepless.
Yes, so that was, like, to me, that was my vision from God. Like, I had, at that point, never felt like this before, and that's how I knew it was from God, because I kept getting up at 4 a.m., and I hear that a lot with other people. Like, to me, I feel like when you can't sleep and you're getting up at 4 a.m., to me, that is such a holy hour. I think that's where God, for me, downloads on me. When I'm up, I'm just like, okay. And then that's where Sleepless came from. It's a very polysemous statement where sleepless, dream now, sleep later is going to mean many things to different people, but we're all going to understand what your definition of it is, what my definition of it is, because it's an energy. It's a lifestyle. So I could feel that, and I was, you know, coming up with names, and I was sketching things, and I was trying to figure it out, and I had never run a business or had my own business before, so I'm just running off of pure energy at this point, and like, oh yeah, I can do this. Like, I'm not, this is, like you said, this is not where it ends for me. Like, no. So I held auditions. I got my little Tyra Banks on, called the people that I did know to film and take some pictures. I rented out a studio, auditioned some girls, and I had a team, a very diverse group of girls, 8 to 12 girls who did multiple things in the entertainment industry, and we just stuck together. So, you know, we would encourage each other. We would have meetings. We would make sure we knew what was going on with everybody. We would take pictures together, and we would throw parties together. And I figured we could create, and this is back in 2008. This is before YouTube. So I'm like, if we stick together, we can create our own celebrity. Like, meanwhile, while we're waiting for Oprah to call, while we're waiting for Steven Spielberg to pick up the phone and come through, we can still be letting LA know who we are and what we do and have fun. Mm-hmm. I am about fun. That's my life.
Yeah.
Fun, freedom, and love. So how old was I? I don't even remember how old, 28. I don't even know how old I was, but this was the first time that I knew it was a God thing. And I had gone to church and, you know, I was at Faithful Central for 5 years. I had good girlfriends and I was learning a lot. But, you know, going to church as a kid with your parents and then trying to figure it out with your friends, like I was getting the lessons and stuff. But this is like my journey of God, like actually touching my life. I'm feeling him in my spirit. I'm knowing it's him and it's given me the energy to go at this thing, and I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just like, well, I'm going to call this girl, and I'm going to do this. Like, I'm just doing.
You're winging it. You're winging it, but you're trusting he's blowing the wind behind you.
Yeah, it just felt good. It felt right, and it brought so many things to my life. And what I love to share with people about this journey is I never want to – I do my thing now, but I figure at one point I'll be even better off than I am now. When I get there, I don't want anybody to – see my little happy smiling face on Instagram and think that it's just been that way. This journey is not easy at all.
Right.
It's going to take things.
Yeah. Because in order to go up higher, there's some things you end up having to let go. And some of the things get taken away. So during this journey, were there ever anything that was, you know, maybe confidence killers or things that made you feel like you were a failure?
Oh, big time. To be honest, It's only recently, and when I say recent, I mean within the past 3 years, that I've even been able to heal from the failure that I perceived I experienced, because I took it very hard. I came from winning, 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 winning. Like, yeah, if I put in the effort, I'm going to get it. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
I never thought, like, oh, I'll put in effort and it might not work out and it might not work out again and it might not work out again. That wasn't my life. So because I had, you know, I used to run track. I told you I got the real estate. Like, everything I put my mind to, I got. That kind of stopped because I'm in this new space. And don't get me wrong, there was grace and I had flow and there was great energy. But when things did go bad, it took me out because I was like, what do you mean this didn't work? Or what do you mean this way? I mean, it took me out. I remember, you know, after a few incidences where, you know, because, you know, working with friends and never having a business before and this and the other, you know, women, not like gossip and things. It wasn't too bad, but there was just some things that happened that kind of broke my heart. And at the same time, my parents were going through a divorce. At the same time, I had to give away my dog. I had to leave my apartment. So I'm like experiencing more loss that I've ever experienced, at the same time trying to build something. So it made me feel like I wasn't good enough. I didn't do it. I couldn't make it work. You know, if I was good enough, then I would be here. I'd be getting these results. And I didn't understand. And that sadness, although I still functioned, it still slowly but surely took a toll on my little confidence in my heart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it sounds like, based on the type of person that I know you are today, and based on what you wrote as a second grader, because I will not forget Boss of the Universe, to not have doors swing open. Like when you, you know, there are sometimes you have to twist a knob and you walk into a room. But then at the airport, you know, you walk up to a door and they just slide open. Or at Walgreens, you know, they just slide open.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the doors had just been sliding open for you. Didn't mean you didn't put in work, but it just meant
mm-hmm.
when you were like in the flow of things, you weren't going against mm-hmm. the current. So it wasn't like stuff mm-hmm. was backing up. So when you were going against the current and you're swimming upstream, and it looks like you said, you know, your parents went through a divorce and you lost your apartment and you had to give away your dog, all of these things were of value to you, and they were a part of your title, your status, your ability to say, you know, not just to other people, but to yourself when you look in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I accomplished that. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
This is going great. And so when those things go away, and this is what I, you know, our listeners, I want you guys to know this, because there's some magic in these statements that she's saying. She was being, mm-hmm. these things were being chipped away. She was being pruned. Basically, and she had launched this new business, and, you know, and as with all things, if you've got a group of women, sometimes there's, you know, a little situation, you know, let's just
mm-hmm.
admit there could be a little situation, and
mm-hmm.
that's because there's a, you know, sometimes there's a lot of chiefs, or a lot of chefs trying to bake, and nobody's eating, and it was new for you, but the
mm-hmm.
the takeaway and the lesson of all of this is, when that happened, again, you could have went in that downward spiral and just quit, gave up, you know, because you stated you had failure again and again and again and again
mm-hmm.
after you had come from winning. Usually
mm-hmm.
when a person comes from winning and they have one failure, they're like, okay, I'll get back up. Two failures,
right.
They're questioning if it's right. Did I miss the call? Did I eavesdrop on the wrong conversation? But by the third time, it chips away at someone's confidence so bad that they never want to venture out into entrepreneurship again or any
mm-hmm.
type of private venture again. So how did you pull yourself up by the bootstrap and then go out again to then discover who you really are? And how did finding out what you were made of, how did that get woven into? Because our topic is the stranger in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to take a little short break. And when we come back,
mm-hmm.
I kind of want you to take me on a trail that leads us to how you discovered yourself, how you found out who that stranger was in your home. We're going to take a short break, pause for the cause. My name is Mara Gale. I'm the host of OMG, and my special guest today is none other than Jamie Alexander. Our topic is the stranger in your home. Knowing yourself and self-actualization should be a priority, not an option. We'll be back in a few moments.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMG. I'm Mara Gale, your host, and my special guest tonight is none other than Jamie Alexander, and we're talking about the stranger in your home. And we want to remind you, if you have a question or if you'd like to make a comment, please feel free to dial in. The number is 347-324-5246. Again, the number is 347-324-5246.
646. Press 1 to be entered into queue, and we'll call you on the air as soon as we know that you are on online. So, Jamie, would you go ahead and speak or take us on the trail that led you to realizing there was a stranger in your house? How did you get to this self-awareness?
Well, it was a combination of things. It was seeing what I was made of under all kinds of pressure that showed me who I was, but then also because of the chipping away at my confidence and simultaneously learning. And on top of that, So it's like I'm going through these things, but I'm learning at the same time. And in my unsureness, and this is why one of the first things I share with people in entrepreneurship or just in life in general, like when God gives you a vision, it's important that you do everything you can to stick to that. I know we see little memes on Instagram, but it's true. God didn't give your vision to this, and that person. And so I started, because I started distrusting myself. It wasn't even God that I wasn't even trying. It was like I started distrusting myself. So it's one thing to have a mentor. And even when you have a mentor, I still believe that you've got to pick and choose what resonates with your spirit, but also learn and glean from those who have gone ahead of you and have something to teach. But I just started taking advice from all these places that I had no business taking advice because what I was doing was new and people didn't understand it. But it's funny because this is where the balance of knowing yourself came in. Even though people didn't understand fully what Sleepless was and what I was trying to accomplish, they were still on board. I mean, it was almost something that got too big too fast, and it was too much for me to handle because the energy and the momentum was so great, actually. So it's so crazy how simultaneously you could be at your high and your low at the same time. But it was taking advice from so many people, and I'm not going to say it threw me off course because God uses everything for our greater good, but it did cause a lot of confusion in my life, and that's where at some point I had to really get into me. Like, okay, why are you hurting? Why do you feel like you failed? Why are you sad? What are you really trying to do? How are you going? You know, I had to reconnect with myself in a way that I was able to infuse it with what I was learning thus far and what the vision I received was. So self-actualization, to be able to have someone so adamantly tell you what you need to be doing and me graciously receive the information and not go home and do everything they said just because they said it is why I need to know me. How does God speak to me? How, when I feel and hear something, what does it feel like in my stomach? What does it feel like through my body? Is that even, you know, was that an idea? Because sometimes God speaks through people. But you'll feel a peace in your body when you know you're receiving something that's for you. And because there was a lot of times I got advice and it was frustrating. Like, I was frustrated. Like, this is, it's not that. It's not this. It's not all these things that people were telling me. It's like, no, that ain't right. And so I tried. It was just a mess, you know? It was so messy. And I was like, I cannot do this. Like, I can't fight with who I am, these other ideas, what God asked me to do, and what I have fun doing. Now it's starting to feel a little bit like a balled up piece of paper. Like, I can't. It was getting too hairy. So it was starting to become very important for me to understand as much as I could about Jamie and who I am now.
And what were some of the steps you took to actually get clarity on that? I mean, were there some exercises? Did you have a coach? Did you just search the word for it? What did you do? Did you do some identifiers? You know, sometimes people will go through a list of, okay, what are some of the things people say about me? What are, you know, because there's the perception and then there's the reality. So what were some of the physical, you know, touchable, tangible steps that you took? Because I believe, you know, one of the great things about the OMG show is people get an opportunity to walk away with practical steps they can walk out. And I love that because it's like you get an opportunity to coach people live you know, via the radio, and then they get to apply it. You know, for those that will apply the lessons, they get to reap the reward. So if you could say there are, you know, 1, 2, 3 steps that you took to actually get to do the work, what would you identify those 1, 2, or 3 steps as being?
Well, and this is me personally, but one thing I did was I moved. I was like, I need to get as far away from here where I was and try something else. And so, but I had a dream. So I had a I was sad. And here I am in a beautiful apartment, got a nice little car downstairs. No reason why I should have the shades closed and crying in my bed. But I couldn't. I was just feeling heavy. I couldn't get out of it. And I woke up one day and I had a dream about a girlfriend of mine. When I woke up, she called me and said I was in her dream as well. And when she told me she was in New York and she had space for me in Harlem, I was like, plane ticket, bye. That was my sign. I was like, Plane ticket, bye. And I only planned to stay in New York for 5 days. I ended up staying 11 days, and within 3 months, I moved and stayed for 3 years. So, so I'm not saying fling yourself. For me, it was like, I need to get as far as, so I went to the other side of the United States, but it was also still somewhat of an intuitive leading that was like, and as soon as I got to Harlem, Harlem is a lively city. The beat of the street. Oh my God. Oh, it's different. So it allowed me to wake up my senses and become present again and get out of my going round and round and round is what a sleepless, why isn't it working? Who do I call? How many? I got out of that. I got out of it and allowed myself to be present with me again. I can't connect to myself when I'm allowing my thoughts to overpower me. So the first thing I don't want to say is just like move across the country, but whatever you feel, follow your intuition. Give yourself a chance to hear yourself think and see what you need to do, and don't be afraid to take that risk. I never would have thought I was going to move to New York. That was not in the plan. I wasn't prepped for it. You know, I had to. My roommate helped me tidy my. It was all right. It worked out, but it wasn't a part of the plan. But I also wasn't afraid to take that step because I knew I needed something. Abandoning the vision is not an option. So it wasn't, let me give up and try something else. No. You know, not as hard as it was. No.
You know, you said something. I had a similar situation. I woke up back in 1988, 2 months after graduating college, and I woke up believing I was in Atlanta. I had no family in Atlanta that I knew of. I had no friends in Atlanta that I knew of, but I clearly heard that was where I was supposed to go. And so it was the launching out for me that afforded me all the things that springboarded afterwards. And so as I heard you say you called a friend and you were going to go to New York for a few days and ended up staying for 11 days, and then you ended up moving there for 3 years, the word or the message that I'm getting from that is, it's not necessarily that someone has to move across country or across the states, but what it is saying is if you find yourself on a hamster wheel of life, if you find yourself on the Ferris wheel going round and round and you can't seem to escape it, sometimes you just need to get off. And that off could be a move to New York. That off could be a move to Atlanta like it was for me back in the late 80s. Or that move could be, do something different, because we both know, and most of you listening know, insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And then the second key takeaway that I heard from that was, you moved to someplace that was vibrant. It was energetic. I mean, you can't go to New York and there's rhythm in everything. There's rhythm in the street lights. There's rhythm in the traffic and the cabs honking their horn. There's rhythm in the train. There are street musicians, street singers, street, you know, percussionists. There's so much liveliness to the arts, the creative arts, which of course is a part of who you are, that will stimulate you. Sometimes for that person that's listening, that feels stuck or stagnant, that feel like they can't quite ID or identify that next thing, sometimes you got to immerse yourself into the thing you want to do in order for that to leap on you and wake you up. Like you said, wake up your senses. Your senses were awake. You came alive and you became present to your own life. And so, and then last takeaway from that was, you said abandoning the vision was not an option. That right there is enough to go ahead and put up, just collect a little offering, a virtual offering, and tiptoe out. Because when you really know that it is a vision, and you got to know that, you got to be confident that you believe, according to Habakkuk 2:2, you wrote the vision plain upon the tables, and he that read it will run. When you really believe that with all your heart and your soul, abandoning the vision is not an option. So how do you rework the vision to make it fit into the new, you know, whatever this is, because that's all you had to do. So, okay, now I'm going to let you go again, but I had to stop, put a pin in it.
Thank you.
Because I didn't want people to miss the nuggets that you just dripped on people. I was like, hey, catch that. Good. So once you realized you couldn't abandon the vision, and you went in this new direction, what began to open up for you? Because I know that's when life gets gooder.
Yes. So, and then just one quick note about abandoning the vision. Again, I like to talk about the things that don't feel good, because I don't, I'm sunshine and rainbows, but that came after the storm. So, is sometimes you're going to want to. There was times I was so mad at sleepless or what I wanted to do. I was so mad, like, why you won't give me something that's so, I can't do this. Like, I can't, it's not working. There was also a fight in that, but I realized it, and it still to this day, it's not going to leave me. I know what I know, and you're going to know too. Like, it's going to be, it's like a child. It's like you never, just because your kid acts up in school, you don't, you know, get rid of it. Like you said, you rework it. So just wanted to let people know it's not a thing that feels good. Like, but it's my vision. It's like, no, it's like, there was times I looked at my vision with such annoyance. Like, why do I have to do this? I can't, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Another thing, when
and
I got
quick,
there.
I want to, real quick, before you do that second thing, I just want to remind our listeners, if you'd like to call in and ask Jamie a question, or if you'd like clarity on something or a little insight on something, please feel free to give us a call at 347-324-5246, press 1. That's 347-324-5246, press 1 to be entered into queue. Go ahead, Jamie. Just wanted to mention that again.
Yeah, so for me, being in New York and being present, and I think a lot of people in New York go through this, but I did start kind of exploring a little bit when it came to, like, Buddhism a little bit. I was trying to find whatever I could to keep my mind right, and the things that I could attach to that made me feel calm. So, of course, the word, I was going to FCBC out there in Harlem, but I started to incorporate just a little bit more that – because I wasn't as mature, you know, we're always maturing in Christ. I wanted to really grasp something. So, like, Buddhism has a lot of references to nature. And at that time, in that season of my life, it was very helpful to be like, yeah, does the bamboo and the palm tree look at each other and get jealous because one has leaves like this and the other one has leaves like this? Well, yeah, that makes no sense. I can't, you know, so there was, like, all of these things that I used. But just allowing the experiences to, so moving to New York gave me a fresh wind. So then that made me feel like I could do it all over again. And it was that alone that made me feel like, okay, I took my bite out of the Big Apple. Like, that fresh wind gave me enough to kind of restart. And then now, remember, I have a little bit more of an idea of how to execute because I had already did some stuff in California. So I really killed the game in New York. I interviewed a ton of hip-hop celebrities. I had very successful parties. I modeled during Fashion Week. I met friends that I'll be friends with forever. And it was a very, very rich experience, but it was also a very, very hard experience. It grew me up. So I don't know how to really tell people tangible. Like a step. It's kind of tough because at this point I just realized I was going through things. You're just going to keep going through things. And I would suggest writing it down and journaling, because even looking back at some of my pages in my journal, I was able to see where I grew, where I didn't. What was I still complaining about? What did I grow out of? What was my worries then, you know? And so that kind of helped me. But
But that's
I think
a great
the practical
tool
step,
in itself.
Yeah.
Journaling.
Yeah.
Journaling is a tracker for anyone that's listening.
It's a tracker.
And you really
you want
to. Yeah, it's a tracker. You get to identify where you were. And then the other beautiful thing about journey, you can look back at all those things that used to frustrate you or you were sad about or you cried over. You go, wow, that doesn't even get my goat anymore. That doesn't even
yep.
rock my boat anymore. You know, it doesn't frazzle
yep.
me. You know, and then you said, there were times, you know, when you talked about abandoning, not abandoning the vision, you said there were times that you wanted to. And I need
mm-hmm.
somebody to hear that. There's somebody that's listening that has a vision that's way bigger than themselves, because usually visions
yeah.
are. And
yeah.
it's okay to feel like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I just,
right.
I don't want to do this. It's too exhausting. It's too hard. It's too difficult.
Yep.
There's too many red lights. There's too many no's. There's too much red tape. There's too much disappointment. There's too much heartache. But the other side of getting past all the too much and the too hard and the too trying is the joy of completion, the fulfillment
mm-hmm.
of following what it is you were called to do, and the smile that gets to be on Daddy's face
yes.
knowing that he assigned something to you. And through and against all odds and through all
yeah.
the crap that you went through, you actually did it, saw it to completion,
yeah.
finished it, fulfilled it. That's a joy that is unspeakable, you know? That's your whole surviving to thriving. You go from surviving how to operate
yep.
the vision to thriving and actually doing the vision.
Yes, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do, because my story's not over. But
hallelujah.
I have my third tip, and I feel like this is my golden everything is serve.
Say that. Say it. Say it. Say it.
Seriously. Serve. It is not about the paycheck. It is not about who's going to do what for you and what. It is about the love. The love I put out put me in position to help me survive when I didn't know what I was doing. Like,
yes.
I'm up here with $16 in my bank account eating the same steak dinner that sir over there is eating, simply because there's certain people who wanted me in their presence, or I helped them
yeah.
out with something, or I connected
yeah.
them to someone. Like, you don't stop giving, like, love on people. Love is going to be what, and if I needed to stay on a couch, you think somebody that I made X amount of dollars for or hooked up and their life changed is not going to let me sleep on their couch when I don't move to LA for 2 weeks and I need a little place in between? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
somebody's going to catch you. Like, as much as you give out, you are going to get back. It's not like, oh, I gave her $5. She didn't give me that $5 back. It's like, I gave her
right.
$5, and them over there, they gave me a meal 2 weeks later. Yay, like dinner. Or, you know, so serving, giving, and loving people, like the joy I was walking around in, even though I didn't have it all together, even though my bank account didn't say that I should be cheesing like I was, like, I'll remember just like one instance where I was with a couple of my girlfriends and or was I by myself? I might have been by myself. But anyway, there was this guy, and there was this place that didn't look open, but he was just kind of hanging out the door. So I was like, hey, you know, I'm just having a good time. And he was like, whatever. He's like, well, come back in a week, and, you know, we're going to be open. And I was able to bring two friends, and it was this big restaurant launch, and we got to eat and drink and do all this. And there's just so many wonderful things that I got to experience because I wasn't, like, in my house trying to think about how to pay my rent. Let me get that check and who's going to pay me for it. It was more, like, genuinely, like, who could I help? Like, oh, I'm good at that. Like, that's how I ended up
yeah.
where I met you. I happened to hit up Shannon and was like, oh, you still looking for volunteers? Sure. If I just show up, like, I know I'm
yeah.
valuable. And what's funny is she didn't know anything about me. She didn't bring me in. She didn't know what she was bringing me in for. She didn't know anything about
right.
my talents.
Wow.
So when I got there, the way God works is I had to laugh at it because her niece was helping. And mind you, I also
yeah.
do events, so that happens to come very easily to me. But her niece came in.
Of course.
And after we got everything set up, she was so cute. She comes to me with a handful of stuff, like a phone and some cords and a selfie stick. And she's like, I don't know if you know how to do social media stuff, but, you know, here – And I'm thinking, girl, give me that phone. Let me just go. Let me go work
exactly.
this. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Let
that
me
was
go.
Jade. I love little
yes.
Jade.
Yes.
She was
Jade.
A rock star. But she put the hand, that's the other half, though, because Jade was serving her aunt. You know, she was
yep.
serving her aunt, and she knew mm-hmm. she was out. She was like, okay, here, do you know what to do with this? And that
so
was
do.
Your sweet spot.
So
you
do.
Were like, do I know
like,
what to do with it? Huh? Please.
You know, and that wasn't – so you got to allow things to unfold and just take the steps. A lot of the times, because I've been in a place where I've allowed my money situation or not understanding if I was going to be okay make me sad where I'm not functioning. And I'm somebody – I need to be functioning and in some kind of joy and on a higher level frequency to at least just get to the next step. So that me saying, yeah, I'll volunteer for your event, like – and I'm sitting
yeah.
up here, I don't know about gas, I got my sister. There's all kinds of, my circumstances don't ever always say, sure, you're going to be all good to get over there or do this or do
absolutely.
That, but to say yes,
absolutely.
Right, and show up, look at that,
yeah.
I met you,
but,
and here I am 2 years later on your show, you know?
And get
I
this,
spent,
get this.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this because I literally, when I am at my worst, lowest, or most depleted, the one
mm-hmm.
thing I can offer is my gifts, talents, and time. And
yep.
I am a firm believer that those offerings of gifts, talent, and time has reaped me more of a
mm-hmm.
harvest than the times that
yep.
I went to any job to try to check in or punch in or clock in, because service is,
yep.
is what causes all the doors to open up. And I believe when we serve and meet a need, it's like somebody
mm-hmm.
else, it's like it sends out this signal to the world saying,
yep.
I am now ready to be whatever I need to be to whomever comes across my path. And it really does open doors. It encourages
yes.
you in the moment because you realize it reminds you that you have something of value. Even when you don't have
yes.
money in your bank account, you've got something of value. Even when you don't have producers and agents calling you, if you're doing something and somebody is benefiting from it, you have value. There is worth
yep.
in that tempo. It reminds you of God's word, you know. And so all
mm-hmm.
of those things are what thrust us into our next season, because service
mm-hmm.
usually equals success, meaning when you
yeah.
begin to serve selflessly, not looking for anything in exchange, just
yes.
giving the gift of whatever it is that you have, the gift of gab, the gift of time, the gift of encouragement, the gift of if it's finances, fine. If it's a lift, giving somebody a lift to church
yes.
or to their job, whatever that is, it launches you exponentially, I think, into a successful frame of mind. A successful frame of mind. Now, it may not be the success that the world calls it, but if
right.
you're working towards a worthy ideal, that's success. The continuous progress towards a worthy ideal is what success is. And so if
yep.
you're serving, you're doing something deliberately and intentionally to benefit somebody else, which equals success.
It really does. And I felt so... She was so happy with the work, and I'm thinking, like, this is kind of stuff I do in my PJs. Like, this
in
is
your
nothing.
Sleep. You're
so,
like, I can
yeah.
do this. Yeah. You could
yeah,
tell. You could tell it was, like, so simple for you.
And you know where that skill came from? Just being out and about. And I remember when I was in New York, I was so excited about being in New York that I wanted to go interview all of my favorite places that I used to go eat at. And I did, and you could find that. Oh, it was just so fun. So I did Sleepless in Harlem. Because I just felt led to. Nobody was going to pay me. I wasn't going to pay. I just felt like, oh, my God, there's all these people. I love these people. I just want people to know their businesses exist. I want to talk to them, blah, blah, blah. So I went to New York Film School, found me a little somebody who was happy to film. But they kind of took forever getting the footage and didn't have time. And, you know, I didn't pay them for it. It was like a film school project. But I was like, look, dump me the footage. I'll figure it out. I hopped on YouTube, figured out Final Cut Pro. Cut my own thing up and was like, oh, okay, boom. Now I got a new skill in my pocket that actually makes me happy. I'm having fun, and it added another value. So it's, again, it came from the lack that
yeah.
I was able to add to my skill. And now it's something that not only I can teach others, but I can bless others with it. And now look at this digital age we are in. Content
I know.
Is
Who
everything.
Knew we'd be here
And now, that's what I was about to say. When you said you were in New York, and you then again, you also did that other selfless thing. You said there were all these restaurants that I went to, and I wanted other people to know about it. That's selfless. That's now going to be a mouthpiece for you. I've eaten at your place. Now, I'm sure you being a mouthpiece for them and doing this video for them caused them to say, hey, you want to have a drink on me? Or, hey, you want to have a bowl of soup or a salad on me?
Yeah.
Because that then opened. And you weren't doing it for that. You were doing it simply because you wanted other people to know. So selfless motives always, selfless motives always win. And then you did it and took it a step further. You were like, I'm in New York, so I went to New York's film school. Now, granted, they're not getting paid, so they don't work on your schedule, but their inability to deliver afforded you one of your most valuable traits that you have now, especially in this digital age. Like you said, content is king, and you kick out a lot of content. I've seen you interviewing some of everybody. What's that? Taco Tuesday.
I had my brunch party. They were my amazing hosts at my brunch party. Chop It Up Sundays.
Yeah.
Taco Tuesday came through, and
just so you guys know, we're saying Talko Tuesday, T-A-L-K, then space O, then space Tuesday, and Talk It Up. What is the other one? Talko Tuesday, and what is the other one? Talk It Up Sundays or something?
I have a monthly brunch party called Chop It Up Sundays, so people can come out and meet new people. Chop It Up.
Chop It Up Sundays. I love that because, A, shop and the food analogy totally fits that it's a brunch, and I hear everybody's just circling through. I hear everybody comes out to your deal. I can't wait till I'm in the city when you're having one of your. I'm hoping that I make it in on one of the weekends where you're having your Chop It Up Sunday brunches.
Yes. So it's all about the love, and then and to tie everything all together is everything that I was saying about the little bits and pieces that I've been doing is what Sleepless was all about. Sleepless was all about how do we and this was 2008. This is why I keep saying this is because now this is what YouTube stars are doing. But back in 2008, I was like, how do we use our skills to provide reasonable cost marketing to the small business and the entrepreneur? I'm an actor. I do voiceover. I do this and that. You mean to tell me you don't need a commercial for your business? I don't even think small businesses know or understand how to get a commercial done for their business. I do, though.
Right.
And I got a bunch of friends who I can – you don't need to go to L.A. casting and try – corporate businesses ain't thinking about L.A. casting and trying to figure out – that was my point, is to be – you know, or like when I filmed at, you know, at Shannon's, like it wasn't about hiring this big old production company to come through. This is phone, and you'd be surprised. Like,
There's an app for that. That's my phrase.
There's an app for that.
So let me, because we're running short on our time, but I want to go ahead and let people know the stranger in Jamie's home was this woman so power-packed with potential that she went seeking what the next thing was. And because it didn't exist, she created it. And so for those that are listening, the stranger is in your home, find out, identify, and make note of what do you enjoy? What brings you joy? What do you like? What are you good at? What are you great at? What do people say you're excellent at? What do people call you to do? Or what do you, when you arrive at a venue and something is missing and you're able to afford people that or deliver that, what is that thing? What is that thing? Find out what those strengths are. Find out what those gifts and those talents are and make it a priority. Don't keep clocking in at an 8-hour-a-day job, 40, 60 hours a week, and you are miserable with your Bible in the running sidekick in your passenger seat and crying on lunch break. And for some of you, it may not be that bad, but when you leave work, are you more, and now granted, a regular work day will cause a bit of fatigue and maybe some being tired. But are you loathing waking up in the morning to go to that job? Are you dreading going into work every day? Because listen very carefully, 8 hours a day, 40 days a week, you don't get it back. You don't get to get that time back. So you don't want to spend the next 5-10 years doing the exact same thing that is not causing you to want to jump out of bed going, what's going to happen today? You know, what's next? You know, you want to make sure that you seek that out and seek it clearly, like not an option. Make it a priority. Find out what that is. Jamie did it. She went from 10 years ago being in real estate, being at the top of her game, to now being a content creator, actress. She's an umbrella, big old umbrella with a lot of her friends being shaded, being covered under it, because her heart was to not just make herself, you know, useful to other people, but how can I get some of my girls, some of my friends, some associates into places so that people can take notes. Jamie, you have been phenomenal. We're going to take one quick break, and then when we come back, I want you to share, if there's a takeaway you'd like to leave with the audience, I want you to share that, and then I also want you to share how our listeners can be in touch with you. So we're going to take a short pause for the cause, and again, we want to let you know, if you're listening to the radio show live for the first time, we're also available on podcasts via iTunes, also on the Stitcher app and on Google Play. That's Up to Me Radio, and then search OMG. Thank you so much. We'll be back after this brief announcement.
We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new uplifting and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalist, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn. Less stuff, more meaningful life. And an up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels, and so much more. So get your subscription today at uptomemagazine.com. That's up2magazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
Welcome back to OMG. I'm Mara Gale, your host, and my special guest, who has been just bursting with nuggets and tips, is none other than Jamie Alexander. So, Jamie, in these last couple of minutes, if you could take a minute or so, and share with our listeners, you know, a good way, you know, a good nugget, whatever, you know, genre or area you'd like to deposit into them, but something that you'd like them to have as a leave behind, I'd really appreciate that.
Yes, the thing I would say most is trust yourself. Trust who you are. Your emotions will change, but know yourself enough to let it anchor you. Sometimes when we think our whole world is falling apart, we might be hungry or on our period, or you know what I'm saying? It might not really be, or, you know, you might be picking up energy from somewhere else. Your emotions are going to change. Outside conditions may change, but learn and trust all of yourself and who you are, and let that be your anchor, and let everything flow from there. You know, so that you're anchored in the storm. So that's all I would say is trust yourself. Know yourself and trust yourself.
Oh, that's perfect. And so now can you share with our listeners your a way that they can catch up with you, your social media handles or website, or your next event where they can catch you in California?
Yes. Well, I do have websites, but I had a lovely virus hit my
site. We're going to stay away from that.
So, yeah, we're going to take it to Instagram. Most of you guys have Instagram, and so I have three different Instagrams. So if you are an entertainment industry professional and you're looking to get connected with other industry professionals and kind of join the community, the network, rock with us, get these resources, and stay connected to people who are doing things within your field, then you'll want to go to Instagram at So Sleepless. If you are in the LA area, every third Sunday, you're trying to have brunch to continue to connect with people who are great. They're doing things all over LA, wonderful people, not a Hollywood scene. Everybody's so cool. We just literally have brunch and kick it. That'll be Chop It Up Sunday. Like, you know, we be chopping it up. C-H-O-P-I-T Sunday. So Chop It Up Sunday on Instagram. Our next event is on March 18th at noon. And last but not least, if you just want to follow little old me, I'd be doing a little hosting and a bunch of other stuff. You can find me at Jamie Alexander, which is J-A-I-M-I Alexander. And those are my Instagrams.
Lovely. Don't forget the I, J-A-I-M-I Alexander. I just followed your Sleepless account. I didn't know about that one. The So Sleepless, So Sleepless.
Yes.
I just followed you. Yes, I did. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you so much for tuning in. Jamie, thank you so much for being my special guest. Thank you for your generosity and your selflessness, your wonderful nuggets, and your contagious energetic spirit. You know, I will never forget the quote, boss of the universe. And I will, I literally feel like, we're, promise you, I wake up on 15. My husband will tell anybody, no, the woman wakes up awake, like literally. I have energy
here for it.
Just bursting forward. So I'm so glad we connected, and I'm so glad we finally had the opportunity opportunity to have a chit chat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes
Thank
our
you.
Show. You can follow us on social media. Thank you, Jamie. You can follow me on social media at Mara Gale. My website is maragale.com, where you can also locate my CD, Ear Candy, or STEM, the movement, the film. In any event, we hope you tune in on next Thursday, where we'll be. So tune in, lean in, and listen up. Have a blessed night. Good night.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to, so we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. OMG.